Blog Talk Radio.
Praise God, everybody. I want to welcome you to another edition of the Miracle Man Show here on Wednesday, November 11th, Veterans Day of 2020. And I'm your host, as usual, this evening, the Miracle Man. And I'm so glad that you've made the determination to tune in to the program tonight to learn more from the Word of God and help further your walk with God. And now, before I get into anything else, I want to say to all the vets who happen to be listening, thank you for giving up and sacrificing so that we could live here in this great country and have our freedom. And I'm not going to spend time tonight on all the ways that people on different sides are trying to take that away from us. But in the end, we're going to win. But to all the vets, thank you so much for your service. And I hope you've all had a great Veterans Day for all of you. All you leathernecks, all you who are in various different battalions, the Marines, the National Guard, and all the armed forces. Your work does not go unrecognized. Even if it seems like maybe sometimes it does, it doesn't. And thank you for graciously serving our country. Now, of course, in May, we have Memorial Day. That is for the troops, all those in the armed forces and the military who died serving our country. Today is in honor of the whether you might have retired just recently or you retired many moons ago. And maybe you've been doing this for almost as long as Moses. Okay, maybe not that long, but it seemed like it. For those of you who may be more advanced in years, to use, more Bible terminology, because I don't like to use the O word, O-L-D. Sometimes when I know of people, who are a little bit more of age, a little more advanced in years, like I said, I like to tell them, you're not older. Your numbers are going higher. Your numbers of years are going higher. That's all. And I remember someone about 15 years ago, someone heard me say that. Someone who I knew very well and still know to this day. And she said, "Oh, thank you, Rivers." and this person really meant it. And so, but anyhow, thank you to all of you vets, whether you're younger or more advanced in years, like I said, and you really make it, you really help, are part of the backbone of this country. Now, we've heard say, you know, workers are the backbone of this country, or parents are the backbone of this country. Well, so are those who either serve or have served in the U.S. military. You're part of the backbone of this country. Yes, you are. Part of the backbone. Part of what makes our country so great. And you say, how did we, who served the military, make our country great? Well, preserve freedom in this country. And when you fight the wars overseas, that helps so that we don't have wars going on in the streets of America. And you make the difference, because I don't know about you, but I don't want wars in our streets. Whether it be in my city here in Michigan, or whether it be in a mid-sized city like Flint or Ann Arbor, or a more large one like Detroit, Atlanta, New York, Chicago, you know, Seattle, Portland. And don't get me wrong, a lot of the bigger ones have had issues with riots and the looting and all that in recent months, but imagine if we had true war. That would not be good. So, I thank God for all of you vets. And so, hope you all had a good day, and that you took, those of you who served, took some time today to reflect on your service, on what all you did. And if you fought in a war for our country, what war was it? And so, to all of you vets, I say thank you so much for your great service to the United States of America. And it's because of you that we get to remain free. Amen. Amen. Some quick things. And for now, whenever, anytime I feel like God is answering our prayers when it comes to this whole election thing, I'm going to bring it up so that you can see the victories where we have them. Number one, Alaska has been called for the president a week later. So now that puts him at 217 electoral votes. That's number one. Item number two that I want to bring up is that for the first time ever, the state of Georgia is going to audit and hand count all of their votes, every county. They're going to, and if they audit, that means they're going to find out the illegal votes and take those out, whatever illegal votes there are, and whatever duplicate ballots there might be. Well, that changes. You say, why are they doing this? Well, in the state of Georgia right now, only 0.2 percentage points separate Trump and Biden. Within 0.5 percentage points, a recount is extremely likely. And because of how it looks right now, they want to make sure that there are not irregularities. And there is a certain person in Metro Atlanta that I think might be responsible for some of this and for some of the outcomes in some of the elections the last couple times in the area. I will not say who this person is, but I think this person ran for governor last time. Thankfully, they lost, but only by 20,000 votes. And I will say, whatever this person is doing, they need to resign now. Because what if there's irregularities? And she's behind some of them. What if it's not just demographic shifts? I'll bring up Georgia because that's just an example. And that is a state that I now have followed for quite a few years as I have. One of my all-time favorites. Along with Tennessee, which Tennessee did a good job. They called it the night of. Same thing with Alabama, Kentucky, Florida. Along with the state directly to our south. And so. And Arizona, we'll have to see what happens with the rest of these ballots. So, for those of you who think, oh, it's all over, not so fast. Keep praying. And it's not good to give up. When we believe in God for a victory, we don't give up. And that's whether it's with this, whether it's in our mind, whether it's in our money, whether it's in our health, whether it's in our relationship with God, whatever it is, if we're believing God for a victory and for a little bit there it doesn't seem like it's going to happen, it's not a time to be discouraged and then to say, okay, I quit. I'm going to quit believing. It is what it is. No. Keep believing God. There, there's some things that have been revealed about Michigan in the last 24 hours, which totally, there's a very high chance that that means fraud. I know some things that I know about through a couple of good news sources where they don't twist the truth. And I know some things, but I'm not going to get into all of that. So we just have to believe God that this stuff is revealed. Lastly, from Pennsylvania, Pennsylvania admitted that they chose not to follow the law. One of their county executives, Allegheny County, he said, "We're not going to follow the law as it is when it comes to counting ballots and all that kind of stuff." Really? If you're going to do that, I have a word for you, buddy. Resign. Put in your resignation later. Let them look for someone who will follow the law. So, we have to believe God that whatever all this stuff is, it's dealt with. And if it swayed the vote legally, that's one thing. But if there's all these illegal ballots, you know, that where they actually backdate ballots. Backdating is not good because that means it's really one day, but you change it to another day. Which the thing with, especially something like this, is that's a bad, big no-no because that's a lie. And so we have to believe God and pray against this. That all this corruption, whatever this is real, that this corruption is dealt with swiftly, justly, now. And that's what we have to believe God for. And so, you know, we just got to confess and just believe that justice is served. That whoever did all of this, whoever those people are, that they face consequences. For messing with the election. Because it is not okay to mess with a U.S. election. And I know things happen with the mail, but maybe you should have sent them out a couple days earlier. Moving on from all of this, I wanted to remind you that you can go to your local McDonald's and pick up an any size soft drink for the low price of just a dollar. Of course, you can choose from regular Coke, Sprite, Dr. Pepper, Sprite Tropic Berry, or Fanta. And for the low price of just a dollar for any size. And of course, with ice, without ice, I don't judge you either way. And while you're there, you can pick up a large fry for a dollar if you have the deal in the app. But you have to have the deal in the app, otherwise it won't work. You have to have the app in order for it to work. All right. Now, we're going to sing. Okay, here's the plan for the rest of the night. We're going to sing. Then we're going to read chapters 7 and 8. Where we will be talking about the 144,000, as well as we'll be talking about chapter 8 and what happened in chapter 8. And I love going through this book of Revelations with you. Like I said, we're going to sing first. Jesus, you're the lover of my soul. Jesus, I will never let you go. You've taken me from the miry clay. You set my feet upon a rock, and now I know I love you. I need you. Though my world may fall, I'll never let you go. My Savior, my closest friend, I will worship you until the very end. Jesus, you're the lover of my soul. Jesus, I will never let you go. You've taken me from the miry clay. You set my feet upon a rock, and now I know I love you. I need you. Though my world may fall, I'll never let you go. My Savior, my closest friend, I will worship you until the very end. I love you. I love you. I need you. Though my world may fall, I'll never let you go. My Savior, my closest friend, I will worship you until the very end. Jesus, you are the lover of my soul. Jesus, I will never let you go. You've taken me from the miry clay, and you set my feet upon a rock, and now I know I love you. I need you. Though my world may fall, I'll never let you go. my Savior, my closest friend. I will worship you until the very end. 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 Thank you, Lord Jesus. Holy Ghost, you wonderful Holy Ghost, a wind blowing strong, blowing from heaven. Holy Ghost, you wonderful Holy Ghost, a wind blowing strong, blowing from heaven. We have decided to go all the way with our God. Revival in the land, that's our goal. And so today's army will fight with heart and soul. Oh, Holy Ghost, you wonderful Holy Ghost, a wind blowing strong, blowing from heaven. Holy Ghost, you wonderful Holy Ghost, a wind blowing strong, blowing from heaven. We have decided to go all the way with our God. Revival in the land, that's our goal. And so today his army will fight with heart and soul. Oh, blood and fire, we call upon blood and fire, a stream flowing strong, blowing from heaven. Oh, blood and fire, we call upon blood and fire, a stream flowing strong, a stream flowing strong, flowing from heaven. So to yourselves in righteousness, break up the foul ground. It's time to seek the Lord till he comes and rains his righteousness upon you. A mighty rain and a mighty wind, a mighty wave and a mighty wind is coming from heaven, raising up his people again. A mighty rain and a mighty wind, a mighty wave and a mighty wind. He's coming from heaven, raising up his people again. Lord, we've heard of your mighty works. We stand in awe of you alone. Revive the enemies. Now is the time to make them known. A mighty rain and a mighty wind. A mighty rain and a mighty wind is coming from heaven, raising up his people again. A mighty rain and a mighty wind. A mighty rain and a mighty wind is coming from heaven, raising up his people again. So to yourself in righteousness, break up the foul ground. It's time to seek the Lord till he comes and rains his righteousness upon him. A mighty rain and a mighty wind. A mighty wave and a mighty wind. It's coming from heaven, raising up his people again. A mighty rain and a mighty wind. A mighty wave and a mighty wind. Is coming from heaven, raising up his people again. He's coming from heaven, raising up his people again. He's coming from heaven, raising up all again. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, how we love you tonight, Jesus. We magnify you, Lord. We praise you, Lord, for who you are, for what you've done, for what you're going to do. I thank you, Lord God, for this time in your word tonight. Thank you for this wonderful worship. We've worshiped you, and now we are going to dig into your word this evening, Lord Jesus. And I thank you that these listeners this evening would have a mind that is receptive and alert, and that they would understand it. This word. And I thank you that you impart things to each of us. And I thank you also, Lord God, that every need that is represented tonight in this program, that every need would be met this evening. And I give you all the praise and honor and glory for that. In Jesus' name. And I make my confession over this program. I pray that sponsors and partners would come into this program, that increases in listenership would come into this program, that finances would come into this program, and most important of all, Lord Jesus, I praise you for the huge amount of souls coming into the kingdom of God as a result of this great radio program. In Jesus' matchless name. Amen. We'll make our shortened confession. This is my Bible. I am what it says I am. Tonight, I do believe that I will receive absolutely everything that God has for me tonight. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Turn with me, if you would, please, in your Bible to the book of Revelation chapter 7. Praise God, Revelation chapter 7. And for the next little bit, whatever I do here where I am, you do where you are. And this isn't, because this isn't just supposed to be a spectator thing where you all just sit there and watch me. No, I sing, you sing. I pray, you pray. Amen. And we're continuing on our journey through the book of Revelation. All right. Whoops. We're going to begin. Whoops, I don't know how that. We're going to begin, like I said, with verse 1. After this, I saw four angels standing at the four corners of the earth. And they were holding back the four winds of the earth to prevent any wind from blowing on the land or on the sea or on any tree. Then I saw another angel coming up from the east, having the seal of the living God. He called out in a loud voice to the four angels who had been given power to harm the land and the sea. Do not harm the land or the sea or the trees until we put a seal on the foreheads of the servants of our God. Then I heard the number of those who were sealed. 144,000 from all of the tribes of Israel. From the tribe of Judah, 12,000. From the tribe of Reuben, 12,000. From the tribe of Gad, 12,000. From the tribe of Asher, 12,000. From the tribe of Naphtali, 12,000. From the tribe of Manasseh, 12,000. From the tribe of Simeon, 12,000. From the tribe of Levi, 12,000. From the tribe of Issachar, 12,000. From the tribe of Zebulun, 12,000. From the tribe of Joseph, 12,000. And from the tribe of Benjamin, 12,000. Verse 9. After this, I looked, and there before me was a great multitude that no one could count, from every nation, tribe, people, and language, standing before the throne and in front of the Lamb. They were wearing white robes, and they were holding palm branches in their hands. And they cried out in a loud voice, "Salvation belongs to our God, who sits on the throne, and unto the Lamb." All the angels were standing around the throne and around the elders of the four living creatures. They fell down on their faces before the throne, and they worshiped God, saying, "Amen. Praise and glory, wisdom and thanks, honor and power and strength be to our God forever and ever. Amen." Then one of the elders asked me, "Those who are in white robes, who are they? And where did they come from?" I answered, "These are they who have come out of the great tribulation. They have washed their robes. They have made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Therefore, they are before the throne of God, and they serve him day and night in his temple. And he who sits on the throne will spread his tent over them. Never again will they hunger. Never again will they thirst. The sun will not beat upon them, nor will any scorching heat. For the Lamb at the center of the throne will be their shepherd. He will lead them to springs of living water, and God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. Excuse me. Chapter 8, verse 1. When he opened the seventh seal, there was silence in heaven for about half an hour. And I saw seven angels who stand before God, and by them, and to them were given seven trumpets. Another angel who had a golden censer came and stood at the altar. He was given much incense to offer with the prayers of all the saints on the golden altar before the throne. The smoke of the incense together with the prayers of the saints went up before God from the angel's hand. Then the angel took the censer, filled it with fire from the altar, and he hurled it on the earth. And there came peals of thunder, rumblings, flashings of lightning, and an earthquake. Verse 6. Then the seven angels who had the seven trumpets prepared to sound them. The first angel sounded his trumpet, and there came hail and fire mixed with blood, and it was hurled down upon the earth. A third of the earth was burned up. A third of the trees were burned up, and all of the green grass was burnt up. The second angel sounded his trumpet, and something like a huge mountain, all ablaze, was thrown into the sea. A third of the sea turned into blood. A third of the living creatures in the sea died. A third of the ships were destroyed. The third angel sounded his trumpet, and a great star, blazing like a torch, fell from the sky on a third of the rivers and on the springs of water. The name of the star is Wormwood. A third of the waters turned bitter, and many people died from the waters that became bitter. Verse 12. The fourth angel sounded his trumpet, and a third of the sun was struck, a third of the moon, a third of the stars, so that a third of them turned dark. A third of the day was without light, and also a third of the night. As I watched, I heard an eagle that was flying in midair call out in a loud voice, "Whoa, whoa, woe to the inhabitants of the earth because of the trumpet blasts about to be sounded by the other three angels." Chapter 9. We're going to read chapter 9 also, and we're going to talk about all these. The fifth angel sounded his trumpet, and I saw a star that had fallen from the sky to the earth. The star was given the key to the shaft of the abyss. When he opened the abyss, smoke rose from it, like the smoke from a gigantic furnace. The sun and the sky were darkened by the smoke from the abyss. And out of the smoke, locusts came down upon the earth and were given power like that of scorpions of the earth. They were told not to harm the grass of the earth or any plant or tree, but only those people who did not have the seal of God upon their foreheads. They were not given power to kill them, but only to torture them for 5 months. And the agony they suffered was that of the sting of a scorpion when it strikes a man. During these days, men will seek death, but they will not find it. They will long to die, but death will elude them. The locusts looked like horses prepared for battle. On their heads, they wore something like crowns of gold, and their faces resembled human faces, and their hair was like women's hair. Their teeth were like lion's teeth. They had breastplates like breastplates of iron, and the sound of their wings was like the thundering of many horses and chariots rushing into battle. They had tails and stings, scorpions, and in their tails they had power to torment people for 5 months. They had as king over them the angel of the abyss, whose name in Hebrew is Abaddon, and in Greek, Apollyon. The first woe is past. Two other woes are yet to come. The sixth angel sounded his trumpet, and I heard a voice coming from the horns of the golden altar that is before God, and it said to the sixth angel who had the trumpet, "Release the four angels who are bound at the great river Euphrates." And the four angels who had been kept ready for this very hour and day and month and year were released to kill a third of mankind. The number of the mounted troops was 200 million. I heard their number. The horses and riders I saw in my vision, they looked like this. Their breastplates were fiery red, dark blue, and yellow as sulfur. The heads of the horses, they resembled the heads of lions. And out of their mouths came fire, smoke, sulfur. A third of mankind was killed by the three plagues of fire, smoke, sulfur that came out of their mouths. The power of the horses was in their mouths and in their tails. And their tails were like snakes, having heads with which they inflict injury. The rest of mankind that were not killed by the plagues still did not repent of the work of their hands. They did not stop worshiping demons and idols of gold, silver, bronze, stone, wood. Idols that cannot see or hear or walk, nor did they repent of their murders, their magic arts, their sexual immorality, or their stealing. So, what we have here is in chapter 7, you know, there was the seals. And the people of God who were alive, they had the seal of God on their forehead. Those who did not have the seal of God, though, they didn't have it. Then, later in chapters, and then, you know, like it says, there were 144,000. That'd be like, let me think here, trying to think of a city, 144,000. That would be like something about 30,000 people smaller than Chattanooga, Tennessee. So that'd be like in Tennessee, Chattanooga, 144,000 of the about 175,000 people would have had the seal. And later on in that chapter, what you had happen is there was the angels, and then there was all these people, huge multitudes of people who came, who had survived the tribulation. And these people had washed their robes. They had robes. They washed them. When they washed the robes, they turned white. And then all these people and all the angels, they all said, salvation belongs to our God that sits on the throne and unto the Lamb. Praise and glory, wisdom and thanks, honor and power and strength be to our God forever and ever. Amen. And so that is a song we used to sing. Many churches used to sing that back in the early to mid 1990s. And I remember the mid 1990s and later, more so than the early 90s, but I know we sang that song at my church for a long time, into the early 2000s even. And it was awesome. I enjoyed it. And it really ministered, even as a little boy there. Chapter 8. chapter 8, you have the first three sounds, the first three trumpets. Each of the trumpets represented a different thing that happened. And most of these, they represent plagues coming. You know, things like bitter water. Things like the sun losing part of its light. And there was the one where a third, where there was the plague of fire. A third of the grass burnt up. A third of the trees burnt up. I mean, all the green grass burnt up. A third of the trees burnt up. And then there was the plague of the sea, in which a third of the sea turned to blood, and a third of the creatures who were in the sea died. And this, that's last day's stuff, folks. That is last day's stuff. That's like tribulation stuff. You and I do not want to be here during tribulation. And tribulation, listeners, that's another word for trouble. So it's essentially 7 years of nothing but trouble. And then one of the things that had happened, too, was these horses, they looked like horses. They were like scorpions. And they had the power to torture people for 5 months. 5 months. Would you want to be sticking here for 5 months? I wouldn't. I would not want to be stinging me for 5 months straight. Not in my life, as they say. I would not want that. No. Because that would be not good. So there was that. There was also like I said, we talked about the water. The stars from the sky, they fell on the earth. On a third of the day, started to not have any light. Also, a third of the night. Picture that for a minute. You should not be here for that. You should not be here. And I want to see you make heaven very badly. And this book, Revelation, is the book, the revelation of the last days and what the last days are going to are like. Now, we haven't really had these big stars hitting the earth. How many of you remember that star that was supposed to possibly, that asteroid that was supposed to come near the earth around election, the day before the election? It had a chance of it. Didn't happen. Maybe there were some people of God out there who thought maybe that was the day the Lord was going to come. Folks, Jesus said plainly, you will not know the day or the hour that I'm going to come. You do not know the day or the hour. If it was our business to know, he would have told us in the Bible what day, what year, what month, what time. But then, you know, everyone would so be on their best behavior the day, the month, the week, I mean, the day, the week, the month, the year beforehand, knowing that on whatever month, whatever day, whatever year, he could come. I was going to give specifics, but I decided, nope. And I don't know why I was only thinking future and not past. If I was, I would have used one in the past, like September 27th, 1996. He didn't come then. Like I said, I just used that date as an example. Of course, we've had 24 years since then. But we just have to be ready, knowing that he could come any day, any time. And the way things are going right now, it shows us we're getting there. And just think about what Jesus said in Matthew. What would be the sign of your coming? And he goes on to say, well, there will be wars and rumors of wars. You know, there'll be false prophets. We have those. Wars and rumors of wars, yep. There'll be earthquakes. Yep. Famines. Oh, toilet paper, yep, back in March. Maybe that verse where he said there'll be famines, maybe that was referring to that the stores were out of toilet paper.
Yeah.
even though there was no TP yet, they just, and the stores will not have any TP. But if that was, I don't know if it would come back. And he said, there'll be earthquakes, famines, and pestilences in various places. Worldwide, even. He didn't say worldwide, but I was saying. Folks, pestilences, that can include things like this virus that we're dealing with, as well as all of its effects. It can be a pestilence, all its economic impacts, social impacts, supply chain impacts, all the various things. The mosques. Oh, yeah, the mosque. Think about this. You have to wear the mosque to go into the store. Well, in the day that you and I should not be here, in tribulation, you will have to have a mark of the beast on your head, your forehead, to be able to go in to a store to buy, sell, or trade. You know what? You wouldn't be on that. And when that happens, you don't want to be here. You think the masks are bad. Wait for that. And this is a practice run. It is. So trust me. I'm so glad that right now, at least, for right now at least, we're not having, you know, story time with Fauci every night before we go to bed. The story time with Fauci, I was kind of being facetious about, but I remember back in March, April, part of May, you heard Fauci daily. And he'd be telling us, you know, and he'd be talking, saying his stuff. For a while, he literally sounded like he had the virus. Like that noise in his throat. He literally sounded like it. Maybe that's why I rarely ever hear from him anymore. Live. But he still, you know, says things and that and says, well, we are da 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 da. But. And with the holidays coming up, look, the experts, they don't want you to get together for Thanksgiving. They don't want you to have Christmas. After stuff like this, we need our families. And Jesus said, do not forsake, he said to the church. Do not forsake yourselves, the gathering together of the saints. Even more so as you see the day approaching. That was talking about the church. That was not talking about at the house for Thanksgiving turkey. And stuffing. And mashed potatoes. And apple pie. And pumpkin pie. Or pumpkin cake. Or pumpkin whatever. Without a mouth. And like I said, this is the last days. See, some of you might wonder, how long will it be before Jesus comes? It'll be soon. Can you say, Miracle Man, can you put a number of months on it? Or weeks or days? No, I can't. That'd be irresponsible. Because the Bible says, Jesus said, I will come like a thief in the night at an hour that you do not expect it. Might not be in the night. Might be during the day. Might be just like I said last night, right? In the stadium, you know, we're in either, you know, in the playoffs. Chances are in the playoffs because, of course, everything's like as big as possible, loud, everything else, and of course, and we're up. And then the big trump, like I said, you don't know, might be in the middle of the night. We don't know. And this verse that says, and the saints, they shall be caught up together with him, with the angels, in the clouds. That doesn't mean that it'll be a cloudy day or a rainy day. No. Doesn't mean that. Could be a day where it's sunny, blue, and 82. Supposed to be sunny, blue, and 72, but I like 82 a bit better. A bit better for being in the water. right? Let me just check. But, and it's really important to me that you know Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. Very important. If you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, I can help you. I want to help you. Now, we're going to pray, and we're going to move on to the last few minutes of the evening together. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this time together. Thank you for this word. As we are dealing with the last days in the book of Revelation. And I thank you, Lord, for this word. And that as we realize, as we read it, may we realize what's at stake. May we seek you. May we worship you. May we live for you. May we be prepared for your coming, Jesus. As we know, it's getting closer and closer and closer and closer. Help us to be ready, not be all distracted. Not all worried about life and all this other stuff. Yes, we should continue to live our lives, but also be ready for you, Jesus. And I thank you for all of those who are listening. For those who are listening who don't know you, may they contact somebody. May they find you. May they seek you. May they give you, their life to you wherever they are. Right now, tonight, in Jesus' matchless name, amen and amen. All right, let's talk. So now it's time for Football Central, which is fueled by your local Dairy Queen, where you can grab yourself some nice sweet treats anytime. Treats, not tweets. You got to go to Twitter for the tweets. So, college. You have Michigan taking on Illinois on Saturday. Michigan won their first game, but then they, not only did they struggle against Michigan State and get beat 27-24, they also struggled against Indiana. Big time, as they had that big loss. Now they got to turn it back around and be ready to play Illinois. Do I think they've had their last loss of the season? No. Will they beat that team to the South in December? Well, if they're going to, they need to really, 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 really step it up. They're going to have to. And so, Illinois has historically not been a very good Big Ten team. For whatever reasons, they just tend to struggle a lot. And for whatever weird reason this year, so far, Penn State is 0-3. What? Shocker. I know. So when I look at this game, I say, winning again, 28. Annoying noises, 19. Because when I think of Illinois, that's kind of almost what it sounds like, annoying noises, right? Now, Michigan State taking on Penn State. Had a decent game against Michigan. In their other two games they've lost. They look like a team that's kind of sort of your middle of the road type team. Not the worst ever, but certainly not the greatest. And when I look at this team, I see room for improvement. I also see points of struggle. I made a mistake. Michigan's got to play Wisconsin. Excuse me, Wisconsin. So, new prediction. I think here, cheesy something Wisconsin's known for. I think here. Cheese bread 34. Wishing again. 20. Michigan will lose to Wisconsin. We'll end up 1-3. And if you're Michigan, you're thinking, oh, I know, I'm sorry, but I'm not seeing the things from Michigan that I need to see, a team that truly wants to be better. I'm not seeing that. Did the lockdown get to them that bad, where they forgot how to throw a football? I don't know. All right, Michigan State at Illinois. Like I said, State, middle of the road. Illinois, not so good over the past. My prediction is O State 27, Norring Roses 23. Now, high school. Traverse City Central, number 10 in Division II at the end of the regular season, takes on Midland, ranked number 3 in Division II. As far as playoff points, you had Fenton and someone else ahead of Midland. Fenton lost, so they are no longer a factor. I forget who number 1 is. Third ranked Comets, 10th ranked Trojans. Like I said, big game at Midland Community Stadium. Keys. Midland is fast. They're undefeated. Very good defense. However, they are small. As far as the size of the kids, they're not that big. Traverse City. Again, they're fast. They're big. They put up on average 51 points a game, where Midland's more so in the 40s, and which would actually be dropped down closer to the 30s. Two of the last three games, they only scored in the 30s. Both of those were those games against Dow. And then they had the game where it was 44-0. Over Alpena. Other than that, it's been mostly in the 40s. Midland has to have their defensive guys, their defensive backs ready to get in the way of the quarterback, who is great at throwing the ball. they need to get to Traverse City's quarterback, who is a junior. Sack him. Make some fumbles. Things like that can really help. To throw him off. Those are the kinds of things that Midland is going to have to do. Midland will also have to be able to stop the run because they're also really good at being able to run the ball. They are. And if we want to win, we will have to be good at both. For the offense, they'll have to be able to squeeze past those defenders, to outrun those defenders, to outthrow those defenders. Cut down on the amount of penalties, please. Win the turnover battle. That can help too. Now, Dow turned the ball over more than Midland on Saturday, but our quarterback did throw his third interception of the season on Saturday. By the way, three interceptions in eight games, that's not bad. But I was just saying, noting that. And we have some very good seniors on this team. They don't want this to be their last game. I trust they are working themselves very hard at practice this week, trying to be the best they can be so that they can live on another week. I do think, however, now last year, Dow went up to Traverse City and beat Traverse City. Traverse City is vulnerable. They lost to a tough Macomb, Dakota team a couple weeks ago, the final game of the regular season. Lost 42-14. Obviously, they have very big kids, too. And we'll have to play our best game of the year in order to beat them. My prediction? Traversing the city, 21. Comic books, 18. Midland will have a deficit, try to come back, make it very interesting near the end, but then time will be in the way, as it'll be a 3-point game. That's what I think. And then the Lions, I pick them to lose on Sunday, sadly. Just being honest. I confess Psalm 91 over us in the name of Jesus. I pray that no plague shall come nigh us or our immediate loved ones. For you, Lord Jesus, have kept your angels' charge over us to keep us in all of our ways. And no wicked or harmful thing shall hurt us or harm us. In Jesus' matchless name, amen. I sure love you. Until next week, God first, God always. So long, everybody.